Amen. Amen. Bibles. Bibles open, please. Colossians chapter 4. Get your Bibles open. Colossians chapter 4. Now, we recently did a little thing out of Colossians, and we talked about it's in your mind, out of Colossians 1, verse 21. And as I was reading through there, I read it a few times, the book. I told you before, you can read that book in about 12 and a half minutes, something like that, at Scorby's rate. And I came to this passage in Colossians 4, and it's down towards, as he's closing out the letter, we call it a book in your Bible, he's closing out the letter, and he starts addressing all the people. He starts in verse 7. And he says, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord." So if you were marking things, you could mark Tychicus' name, for example. Okay. And then we read on down, and he said, "Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your hearts." Well, there was no other way of communicating in those days. You could write a note or letter, which is what this epistle is. That's why an epistle is a letter. And he said that he might know your state and comfort your hearts. "With Onesimus," another name to mark, "a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here." So it was a big deal when they would show up and have a report, and then they would listen to the folks and take back a report. Big deal. It really was. "Aristarchus," another name to add to your list, "my fellow prisoner saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas." The general consensus is that this fellow is John Mark, who had gone with them and then departed from the work. And then later, when Barnabas determined to take him, he and Paul, you know, parted ways, and Paul and Silas went on, and Barnabas and Mark went on. And sometimes people make a big deal out of it as if Barnabas fell off the scene. There's no indication of that. The indication is that Barnabas wasn't the apostle to the Gentiles, so whatever he did was not as of much consequence as what the apostle Paul did. And so that's why we know what the apostle Paul got up to. And he says, "Sister, son to Barnabas," look at verse 10, "touching whom you received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice," if you lived in that day and your name was Jesus, like in Spanish, it'd say Seuss. They say he's also called Justice. You'd rather change that quickly and become Justice rather than trying to carry that holy name. "Who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me." And notice he says, "who are of the circumcision." That's another whole subject in itself, and there's every indication from reading your Bible, not leaning on history, every indication from reading your Bible that these fellows were followers of the Lord. They understood Paul's doctrine, but they had a little different application of it. Okay, verse 12, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." And if you will, mark that thing, "laboring fervently for you in prayers, always." Just notice that that's what this fellow, his purpose was right now. Other than living his whole Christian life, he was making intercession. He was praying for them. Now, if the Lord had Paul include this in his letter, and then God included this letter in the Bible, then I think it's pretty safe to say that there's a great lesson on prayer here. Now, that's not what our lesson is today, but notice that this fellow Epaphras, he's fulfilling his purpose. He said, "For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are at Laodicea and them in Hierapolis." Luke, the beloved physician, notice that he indicates the beloved physician, we'll come back to that, "and Demas greet you." Later, when he says, "Demas hath forsaken me," it's insight into the fact that you could be walking with the Lord, you could be on target. He would not have put Demas in here in a positive vein if it didn't matter, and he wouldn't have included Demas as having forsaken him if it didn't matter. It says, "Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house." Okay? So he says this fellow Nymphas, he said he's got a church in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So he obviously, even though it didn't get into Scripture, he sent them an epistle to the people, the believers in Laodicea. And then he says this in verse 17, and to Archippus, take heed, and say to Archippus, ready? Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, and that thou fulfill it. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. And many of your copies of your King James Bible in the subscript will say, written from Rome to the Colossians by Tychius and Onesimus. They did not write it as an author. They wrote it as penned it, as he spoke it. The authorization, the authentication was through the salutation of the salutation by the hand of me, Paul, by his signature. Now, I want to direct your attention today for just a few minutes to verse 17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. My subject, I just decided to call it this, fulfilling your purpose. Fulfilling your purpose in Christ. Okay? Fulfilling your purpose in Christ. And I'm going to make four observations that I'm going to talk about. And if you will, as a start, let's run over here. Hold your place there for me. Run over Romans 8 for a minute. As we go to Romans 8, I'll say this. The first thought about all this is there is a universal purpose for every believer. Okay? There's a universal purpose for every believer in Christ. It's the purpose that everybody has. One of the things I've called it, just as a way of remembering these four points, is accepted. Accepted. A-C-C-E-P-T-E-D. The accepted purpose. That is, when you read your Bible, here's what you find. Romans 8, of course, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now watch. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. There's no verse in the Bible that says He predestined somebody to salvation or to receive Christ. He foreknew. In other words, He looked ahead, and He has the ability to know every single thing into what we would call the past and into the future, which none of it means a thing to Him because He's ever-present. I know, we can't grasp that. You're right. But the point is, what He did, He predestined us to conform to His image because He had a purpose, called according to His purpose. So when we read down through all this, we understand that everything He does in our life, He does it because of His purpose. The accepted purpose of God. Now, we're going to be in Colossians. We're going to pretty much try to stay in Colossians. I'll make a few references, but stay in Colossians for a little bit, and at the end we will close it out with some verses. But Colossians 1, verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. And ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Now, the accepted purpose of God is that a person get in Christ. That's God's will. God is not willing that any should perish. That's the accepted purpose. But then it goes beyond that. Because His purpose is to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So if you read verses 8 down to verse 18, for example, of Colossians 1, that's what He takes them into. And we read this before. Why? Verse 18, that in these things, that in all things He might have what? The preeminence. We're here to glorify God. If you then be risen with Christ, chapter 3, verse 1 of this book, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So you see, there's an accepted purpose for every single person that names and owns Christ. That is, you own the cause of Christ. You openly profess to be saved. Now, there are some people who just, they literally can live like the devil and think it's okay to go around telling everybody how saved they are. Well, that's between them and God. As Doc used to say, if they are saved, there they are. If they are, there they are, he used to say in his sermon. So the accepted purpose is to get in Christ and to glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's, and then to grow in Christ, to put those roots down in God. Now, here's why that's important. And you've heard me say it before, some of you have seen me draw it before, the little diagram. And that is the foundation, 1 Corinthians 3. The foundation is Jesus Christ. The foundation is you're a Christian man or woman, a boy or girl. That's your foundation. There are people who have gotten themselves so crossways with the Lord or out in the world or the flesh, and they were people who had, as we're going to look about it, God had assigned them special purposes. They had associated themselves with people who were also fulfilling it, but then they did not avoid the things they should have as the accepted purpose in their life. In other words, nothing changes as God begins to use you specifically. And I'm not talking about some title like a pastor or evangelist. And that's not what this is about. Listen, your purpose in life is not, your purpose is not ministry. Your purpose is not being a pastor. Your purpose is not evangelizing. Your purpose is not a missionary. Your purpose is Christ. Well, there's an accepted purpose in Christ that is just all the things that do with getting in Christ, glorifying God, growing, that is putting your roots down in Christ. And there, it's the same for every single believer, known, unknown, well-known, whatever. And so we have to get people started there. See, the danger is in a lot of local churches is they're motivating and getting people in by giving them something to do and giving them a purpose that isn't Christ. It's things and things to do. Now, we said, verse 17, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And we're going to talk about that. But what I want to say to you is it starts with your accepted purpose. Getting in Christ is God's will. Glorifying God in your body and spirit is God's will. Growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ continually is God's will. I'm going to throw out a little something here, an illustration. It's a thought that I wish believers would buy into, would get hold of as Christians. Okay? You know, he says, hold fast the profession of your faith. And I have preached many a time on the title, you know, being a professional Christian. Not professional as these guys are in professional ministry. No, no, no. That is being the very best believer you can be. A coach once said, I addressed some people, and here's what he said. I'm going to sum it up. He said, if you want to win a championship, you must ask yourself these five questions. All right, so I'm going to say to you, if you really want to win a crown from Christ, if you really want a full reward in heaven, if you really want to fulfill your accepted purpose in God, and when we get to the assigned purpose in a minute, we'll talk about apply it the same way. But this should be the attitude, and this is something that should be kept in front of every believer constantly about being fulfilling your accepted purpose, the universal purpose you have in Jesus Christ as a believer. Okay? Number one, what sacrifices am I willing to make? Number two, what talents and skills must I acquire? Let me stop there a minute. You must learn your Bible in a practical way. Now, let me tell you, friend, you can get all the audio files and all the books and all the stuff, and you can learn all about, say, you know, the almost nowadays what I would call an ultra-dispensational view. You can get all the verses down, all the references, and you can get all the peculiar doctrines down and not have hold of the grace of God and what actually makes a strong believer. What talents and skill must I acquire? You say, well, I don't read well. Then learn to read. Well, I don't have much vocabulary. Then get you a dictionary app, and when you're reading your Bible, immediately stop and look it up. Write it in the margin. What sacrifice am I willing to make? What talents and skills must I acquire? You ready? Number three, whom do I have to work with to accomplish this purpose? In this case, they're saying win a championship. I'm saying to fulfill your accepted purpose in Christ. Whom do I have to work with to accomplish this? You know, the problem is people are so haphazard about their Christian life, and they're not haphazard about nothing else. I mean, we live, of course, in the time of media. We live in the time of you know, the internet and digital and all that kind of stuff. We live in the time where people can watch a YouTube on how to do stuff and all that kind of thing. Okay, whom do I have to work with to accomplish this? See, the world is smarter than believers, and Jesus said they were wiser than the children of light. I had to make a choice. If I really wanted to learn some Bible and I really wanted to be around the old men of God, I had to make a choice. And I can remember thinking to myself, well, if God allow me, I want to be able to listen and hear these men and glean from them. And He worked it out. Praise the Lord. I can remember making choices based on that. Number four, what problems am I going to have to overcome to be and fulfill the purpose of God in my life? And what kind, now this is amazing, okay? I want you to think about this. Think about what it is that God wants to do in your life. And the fifth question is, what kind of choices, okay? What kind of choices am I going to have, what kind of choices am I going to have to make? All right, or am I going to make, we'll say. What kind of choices am I going to make between now and achieving my goal? What kind of choices am I going to make between now and achieving my goal? I heard a little snippet the other day by a guy that some guy was being a smart aleck, and he had asked this. He heard one of those, you know, former SEALs who teaches and trains people now and stuff, and he said, so seriously, you really advocate getting up at 4:30 in the morning? He said, I do. He said, I did all the time in my career, and I do now. And the guy was kind of mocking, well, why would you do that? And he started giving the reasons. He said, I can get up and do this and this and this. And he said, I still have time to spend time with my children and my wife before I send them off to school, before I go to work. Now, I'm not telling you get up at 4:30 in the morning, but you know what they learned? They learned to make choices. What kind of choices am I going to make between now and achieving my goal? Now, if you read your Bible and you read the Gospels, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, asking yourself these questions, read the life of Paul, asking yourself these questions, ready, what sacrifices am I willing to make? What talents and skills must I acquire? I was helping somebody a little bit with the idea of, you know, tasks and time management recently. And they're like, wow, you're really organized. Well, personally, I'm not. But what I did learn, I had to learn if I wanted to be effective at what God had called me to do. I had to learn it. Because if I didn't learn it, I wasn't going to be effective. And you see, if you're not careful, you're not thinking that way as a Christian. Some of y'all got out of school, so you never have to learn again. Well, that's not. We are to be lifetime learners as Christian soldiers of Jesus Christ. All right, so we got that thing going. And then number three, whom do I have to work with to accomplish this? What problems am I going to have to overcome? What kind of choices am I going to make between now and achieving my goal? Well, the second thing that we think about is not just the accepted purpose of God. Now, by the way, every single Christian, God, the acceptable life gets in Christ. Glorify God in your body and spirit, the way you live, your daily choices, and grow constantly in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Secondly, there's the assigned purpose. The assigned purpose. The assigned purpose is like we read in chapter 3 there. Read chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, 3:19. Husbands, 3:20. Children, 3:21. Fathers, 3:22. Servants, chapter 4, verse 1. Masters. You see that? That's the assigned role, the assigned purpose for your life. If you're in any of those things, if you're a wife, a husband, a father, a child, a servant, that's you're working for anybody, a master. God's book is full of roles. You're assigned roles, your assigned purpose. Now, that assigned purpose starts right away because you read your Bible and you figure out, oh, well, that verse obviously applies to me. I'm a husband. I'm a wife. I'm a son or a daughter. See, I'm a child. I'm a worker. I'm a servant. I'm a master. I'm an employer. Or I'm a servant as an employee, and I'm also a group leader, a squad leader, a crew leader. So what happens is we adjust our roles as they're added or changed, but there is an assigned purpose with those roles. He said of Luke, he said, Luke, the beloved physician. So in life, God will assign you some roles. Now, men tend to think in terms, if you say, what are you? They think you're asking, what do they do for a living? But God says, you are a Christian, and you are this and that, and here's what I want you to do. Here's your assigned role. You have to constantly stay up to speed on your roles in life as they change. Here's a great thing, a great error in modern Western society. A couple get married, so now they're a wife and a husband. That's their roles in the home. A child comes along, or two or three, whatever. Now they're a wife and a husband, and now they're a mother or father. Now, when you become that mother or father, the amount of your time is larger spent on the role of being a father or mother. But the priority of your roles is still husband-wife. That's what's been missing. The world would like you to change it. The world would like grandparents to think that their role is to spoil that grandchild rather than to affirm and back up and pass on old-time Christianity. Now, you say, well, what about my assigned roles? You start right now. You write down, if you're a brother, a sibling will say, if you're a wife, if you're a husband, if you're a child, if you're a worker, a servant, if you're a master, a leader, you write those down. So what the three things under this assigned purpose, ready? You study it practically. And you study it Bible first. Bible's so simple and clear with so many great examples and explanations of priority. You study. You start right now. If you've never before, even in your life, taken a piece of paper and written down your roles and basically described them from a Bible point of view, you need to do that this week. Thirdly, you stay with the vision. How do you stay with the vision? Well, those five questions, they're just an illustration. You can word them any way you want. Well, what sacrifices am I willing to make? Well, are you going to be the role, are you going to fulfill God's assigned purpose for your life? Because He has assignments for it. Now, let's take outside of those roles what can happen. Some roles become individual. For example, Archippus, verse 17, chapter 4, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received. Where? In the Lord. Now, I'll tell you what is scary to me. What's scary to me is that people think that you've got to take these titles, like in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and you take these titles and that is you, that's what your role is. But you can't find that in the rest of your Bible. When you get over to chapter 4, and he's talking about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, that's not supposed to be a title. It's a role. So, God assigns you things by your role, and then He might assign you individual ones. Now, the reason that's so important is because we've got to ask ourselves, what am I willing to do to fulfill it? When he opens this letter, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful. He said of Luke, the beloved physician. Okay? Demas, greet you. These are assigned roles. These are things that we say to ourselves, and you can't fulfill it if you don't describe it. I don't know the story behind it, and you can go pick up all kind of opinions on this, considerations, conjectures, in contrast to clear teaching. In verse 17, when he says to say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. He needs reminding whether it's because it seemed too little to Archippus, whether it seemed little in the other people's eyes. Maybe somebody said, who are you to be doing this? I don't know. But he said to him, in your Bible, named his name and said, say to him, take heed to the ministry. Take heed to it. And the reason that's so important is if we don't take heed to something, well, there's no telling what could happen. This fellow's name is over here in Philemon. Many of you already know this, or it came back to your mind. But let me read this to you. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Okay? Now he's writing on behalf of this fellow, Onesimus. And what we need to remember, and Onesimus is in chapter 4, verse 9 of our text, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. So, Onesimus had fled as a servant. He had fled, done wrong, ended up in jail, ends up with the Apostle Paul. He gets saved. Paul takes him under his wing. And then Paul writes a letter to Philemon, sends him back and says, you know, put this on my account, that kind of stuff. But the point being that who knows how much of all this involved just because Archippus did his part. What sacrifice am I willing to make? What talents and skills must I acquire? Whom do I have to work with to accomplish this? What problems am I going to have to overcome? And what kind of choices am I going to make between now and achieving my goal? Now, I'm quoting this other fellow because I want you to understand that this is what it takes. Many of these guys who say coach these boys and stuff, many of them are Christian guys. What they do know is they know that they've got to take these young boys and young men and teach them. Landry. Coach Landry was asked one time, they said, how would you describe your job? He said, my job is to take grown men and make them do what they don't want to do so they can be what they always wanted to be, champions. And there's a sense in which we need to understand that that is what it takes to fulfill our purpose. So there's the accepted purpose, there's the assigned purpose. Now, there's the association of yourself with purpose or the associated purpose. Here's what I say to you. It's not a matter of getting associated with people who act professional in the ministry and, you know, have a title and carry their Bible a certain way. Brother Wood hated that kind of thing, that professionalism. But it is fulfilling your calling. Associate yourself with people who are fulfilling their accepted purpose in life. They're living a clean... I am amazed at some of the fellas in the ministry today that I know personally how lax they are out of the pulpit. And somehow they've convinced themselves that makes them real. No, that makes you backslidden. That doesn't make you real. Doesn't make you real to be loose in your conversation and loose in your living. No. And it's going to lead to who, God only knows what. Associate yourself with those who are fulfilling their assigned purpose in life. The world says, you know, hang out with winners and hang out with those who are successful and get you a training partner. Well, the world knows this. You need to get yoked with somebody who's about what you're about. See, that's all Bible. They're just taking the Bible and fulfilling their self-purpose with it. So that's what the world says. Here's what the Word says. Iron sharpeneth iron. The Word tells you that your friends shape you and that evil communication corrupts good manners. That's what the Word says. So you and I as believers, we fulfill our purpose by associating ourselves. Now, you say, well, how do I associate myself? Well, part of it is, for example, what you read, what you listen to, who you identify with in your heart and mind, okay? It's not always who you hang out with because somebody might be an influence to you to fulfill your purpose in life that's miles away and you never see them. You might not ever see them or you might not see them for years at a time. But you see, you choose to associate yourself in your heart and in your mind by them influencing you. It's so important. We have today such a slackness that, and I'm talking about amongst Bible-believing Christians, it's based upon, well, I got some doctrine right, so that's all that matters. No, you need God. You need to fulfill your purpose so that when you get to heaven, you've done that. You know, when you think about the Apostle Paul's farewell to Timothy, Many of you can quote it, like I can quote it. But I want you to turn over there with me. I want you to see this. 2 Timothy chapter 4. When you think about association in this, it's important. Because our last one is associated with purpose and then avoiding those who aren't fulfilling their purpose and the kind that don't and the thoughts that don't and the words that don't. All right, so watch. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He talks about the last time, the time will come, verse 3, they shall turn away, verse 4, verse 5. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now, for years I've gone by these things. I've got it written in the margin of many of my copies of my King James Bible that I've carried through the years that are worn out now. But he said, watch in all things. You know what that is? That's the shepherd. Endure afflictions, that's the soldier. Okay? Do the work of an evangelist, that's the soul winner. And then he says, make full proof of thy ministry, that's the steward. Those are things that we should be doing. If you're not careful, dear brother and sister, you get off track and you get to measuring yourselves among yourselves and you're not wise. Verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, for the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You see what in there? He fulfilled his assigned purpose. He fulfilled his accepted purpose. And now he's about to give you an association. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And I'm warning you as a believer, if you're within the sound of my voice, wanting to get out of here is not the same as loving his appearing. It is not the same. And many of you, you look at the times, it's going to get bad. I hope we get out here before it gets bad. That is not loving his appearing. That's loving your disappearing. And I pray thee, consider that, because you say, well, he ain't going to think that way. If my hunch is even a tiny bit right, you're going to wish you'd thought differently. Amen. Associate yourself with those who are. And then I'm going to close with this. And since you're over in 2 Timothy, look at 2 Timothy. Across page chapter 2. I'm going to say avoid. Avoid what? Anything that's going to keep you from fulfilling your purpose in Christ. 2 Timothy 2:23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. You want a good test? Does it gender strife? Hang a right and go to Titus, just that couple pages. Titus chapter 3. The verse is verse 9, but let's read verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou what? Affirm constantly. You need to get hold of this. The world uses affirmations all the time. We need to understand that that comes from the Bible. That's what God made for us to be able to be effective and successful. That I will that thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid, ready? Foolish questions. Here we go. Genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Many of you Bible believers, within the sound of my voice, are in danger, are getting to the end of the way and having something that's unprofitable and vain because of that. And many of you, it's because you won't avoid foolish questions. And you know what genealogy is? It's primarily dates. It's primarily saying, well, why didn't it say this in the Bible? Why didn't it say that? And so you reject the guy who goes to the seminary and corrects the Bible. But you argue over something God said don't argue over. And contentions. Could this have happened? Did that have happened? Would this have happened? Don't you think this is going to happen? If you're arguing over things in the future, you have missed it. Now wait, there's some clear teachings about the future. The catching away of the church, that's clear teaching. The apostasy, that's a clear teaching. But about 90% of the timing is not known to us. And where certain things happen for sure in the book of Revelation, they're not known to you. You can just make a guess, a consideration. So you shouldn't be contentious about that. Avoid it. Avoid it. Avoid it. Now, there's things to avoid. One of the verses that comes to mind real quick is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It's either verse 1, 2, or 3. There we go. Now concerning the verse, chapter 7, verse 1, we'll start. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for man not to touch a woman, nevertheless to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Yeah, now that might not seem like a big thing to you, but the world is getting more and more careless about these things, and the world's trying to make you more careless about it. There are some things we do to avoid doing wrong. There are some practices that you can't develop your own philosophy. Hang another left, a couple books over to Romans. Romans chapter 16, the last book in Romans, last chapter rather in Romans. Now I'm just running these. We didn't run other ones. I'm running these because it's just as important what you're going to avoid in life as it is what you're going to do in life. It's just as important. It's so important that you as a child of God know what you're going to avoid in life. Okay? Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, ready? Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. If you are one of those persons that causes division and offenses over doctrine, you're the one that's a problem, not the people who you think you should avoid. So you've got to avoid people who are constantly causing division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll challenge you to read Paul's epistles and stop looking for all the little tiny things in there, the dispensational things, and look at all the practical things and the daily things and the relational things, because you need those to balance you out big time. And do what? Avoid them. Who? People. Certain people. Avoid those people. Some people wonder why some of us choose not to associate with people who might be outwardly, you know, Bible believers, da da da. They got a divisive spirit about them, an offensive spirit about them. One last verse. Romans chapter 4. Verse 14 and 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Ready? Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they've done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Etc., etc. Verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Your life needs to be more and more, more and more, more and more unto the perfect day. That's what God, His purpose is. Are you going to fulfill your purpose in life from God? You have an accepted purpose. It's for every believer. It's really for every human, is to get in Christ and then from then be conformed to Christ. You're assigned a purpose. Some of them are assigned by virtue of your roles, relationship. You know, husband, wife, children, fathers, etc. The Bible says a child left himself bringeth his mother to shame. That's part of your assigned role, is correcting and training. You can't be their buddy, and you can't just be there, you know, to provide every whim. Associate yourself with those who are fulfilling it, and avoid those and things that are going to keep you from fulfilling your purpose. You say, that's awful simple. Why'd you bother doing it? Well, I don't know. It helped me. Helped me a lot. It was in one of my morning readings, just reading through the book of Colossians. Father, pray take these things and use them. Bless someone through it, I pray. And I pray it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.